see you all here. Let's say hi to Jeremiah. Calista, hello. Good to see you. Glad to have you here, Leah. And is Pryor here somewhere? I figured with you guys here, he had to be, but I don't think that I've laid eyes on him yet other than in pictures. So really thankful that that you're able to be here and that he's healthy and for all of that. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to be taking a look particularly at verses 7 through 10 this afternoon. I'm excited to be able to share this portion of God's word with us this morning. this afternoon. I got it right the first time. Half of you wouldn't have even caught it if I didn't correct myself. So Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. So we'll have this one and then two more here in the book of Galatians, Lord willing, and then we'll be through Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So I want to talk a little bit this afternoon about the law, the laws of the harvest and the importance of sowing and reaping in particular. Still not ready. Okay. Very first thing that's being communicated here is do not be deceived. Do not. Now, why does the scripture say something like do not be deceived? Well, one of the reasons why Scripture says that, and it says it, I think, four different times in the New Testament, do not be deceived, is because the ability of humans, particularly fleshly humans, to deceive themselves is incredibly high. I'll tell on myself a little bit here. So it was really nice Friday. And we had Friday Night Fellowship. And so Friday Night Fellowship, the boys were outside throwing the football around. So, I mean, it seemed pretty obvious to me. The boys were out there throwing the football around. So I figured I would join them and throwing the football around. Like, that's normal for me, or at least what I thought was normal for me. So we did that, and then it was nice out, so they were playing Ultimate Frisbee, and so they played a game, and so I jumped in for games 2 and 3, which, again, was normal, or at least so I thought. By the next day, Saturday, and I'm telling on myself, and this is not like, I could barely move. My back hurt, everything hurt. I'm like, I didn't do anything. Like, I threw the football around, and I played a couple of games of Frisbee where I went, like, you know, it's not like I was trying to win the Super Bowl or something. I wasn't exactly, like, pushing it. I'm like, oh, I have deceived myself at how far I have let this go, and I need to be honest about where I'm at because I got some work to do, man. So it was easy for me to be like, oh, yeah, I haven't done anything in a while, but I'll be okay. It's another thing is like, oh, man, my back hurts from throwing the football around. Yikes. Because it's easy to deceive ourselves, right? See, in our mind, it's easy to run for miles and miles effortlessly. In our mind, it's like, oh, yeah, I could memorize scripture. I just haven't put the time. I could. I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem. But there's a difference between doing it in our mind and doing it in reality, isn't there? And so the scripture gives us some reminders. Do not be deceived. And then it goes into God is not mocked. Oh, my goodness. Why is it giving me a hard time today, guys? Do we see that? All right, good. Okay. So you know, we're coming off of the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with him who teaches. Then it goes into do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And so the encouragement here is don't be deceived. You could be tempted. Remember verse 1, right? It's been a few weeks now. But brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Well, there's some things that we can draw from that. Like, not everybody in the church is spiritual. Because it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Okay? Well, why? Because if you're still fleshly and you're trying to pull somebody out of the same ditch that you're in, you're both just going to still be in a ditch. The only person that can help pull you out of the ditch is somebody who is already out of the ditch. Okay? And so there's a possibility that we could be tempted. There are those who are not spiritual. The Lord wants us to use an approach of gentleness. See, one of the things about the faith system as compared to the law system is that the faith system emphasizes gentleness. The faith system emphasizes helping other people because we really believe in forgiveness. We really believe in forgiveness. We really believe in the power of the new creation. We really believe that that murderer Paul of Tarsus can be a great apostle of Jesus Christ. And so those who understand that according to the faith system are not using someone else's sin or someone else's indiscretion or someone else's stumble to be able to prop them up or to make them feel better about themselves. What they're really interested in is they're really interested in restoration. And as people of the new covenant, we need to be interested in other people's restoration. We need to be interested in our living and walking by faith, not our feeling better about some standard other than Jesus that we are attaining to. There is no standard other than Jesus Christ. And so earlier on in the chapter, we used the example of boulders versus backpacks. You guys remember that? That like we're responsible for our own backpacks, okay? And then we help one another with the boulders of life, right? Now, there are people out there, we've all met them, that they really want you to help them with their backpacks. It's the worst thing that you can do. And, you know, those in the psychological world call that enabling, okay? Don't do that, right? Don't help somebody else to fail, okay? But there's also boulders in our life where the Lord has been very clear. You take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. You take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 11 or 12. God has set up the body of Christ in such a way for us to help one another through the gifts that God has given us to manifold or to manifest the manifold grace of God towards one another. And so we are to bear one another's burdens. God hasn't made Christianity to just be us and Jesus. It is about us and Jesus, but he also has made us a part of his bride, the church. And we are part of that bride, and we are members one of another, as the New Testament talks about. So it's brought these points forth, and it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. One of the things that God doesn't tolerate is he doesn't tolerate game playing. He's not mocked, right? There are a lot of people who, what's the old saying? I've used it here recently. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time. Okay? But you can't ever fool God. A lot of people are really interested in what things look like. Okay? of though as New Testament Christians, we shouldn't really care what things look like. We should care about how things are, because God knows what they are. And what they look like to other people is really not what we're to be focused on. And so there's an encouragement here for us to do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We live in a spiritual Botox culture. Right? It's funny when I hear people from California, particularly Las Vegas or Hollywood, and it's like, well, everybody's had a little work done. Like, man, come to Northwest Ohio. We don't know what work is. Like, you say work, and we're like, hey, yeah, work with our hands, work in the trades. Like, oh no, body work. What in the world are you talking about, man? Like, what are you talking about? Do not be, God is not mocked. You can't take spiritual Botox and have that replace actual health, spiritual health. Do not be deceived. We want to be able to properly spiritually appraise where we are. And so one of the things that's being communicated here is that what we say we value and what we truly value need to align. And that's where in verse 6, okay, Galatians 6:6, the one who's taught the word is to share all good things with him who share with him who teaches him. Okay, and then he goes into, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We have limited resources. All of us only have 24 hours in a day. It's interesting, there was a, back in the day when I worked at the car wash, there was a local car dealership who had a contract with, or had a deal worked out with us, where we would wash their cars instead of them having to wash the cars themselves. So worked out for everybody. We gave them a lower price. It was consistent work that we would get, whatever. But their salesmen, I don't think that the culture of this dealership was very good. And so their salesmen were always grumpy. And so they had one guy in particular that would come in, and if he wouldn't get served as quickly as he wanted to, I remember one day he got particularly irritated, and he came in and he was, time is money, time is money. I understood what he was saying, and I could appreciate where he's coming from. And we've all heard that phrase before, but that's a really limited perspective, because properly understood, you can always get more money. You can't always get more time. Each one of us has 24 hours in a day that we can that we have responsibility for, that we need to steward. And I can buy things to make me more efficient with my time. Okay, sometimes those are good things to be invested in, but I only have so much time. But that, you know, as the Cleansing the Inside of the Book, the Cup book talks about it, it uses the acronym TEMPO, right? Time, energy, money, people, organization. And we have to decide how we're going to steward our time, how we're going to steward our energy, how we're going to steward our money, how we're going to make connections and steward with the people and then the organizations that we have and that we are creating. And so it's one thing to use words and to talk about how much we value the kingdom. It's another thing to utilize our resources in such a way that reflect that. There was a bulletin back that I read that I really appreciated, and it basically said, as a loose quote, don't hold this against Jay, hold it against me if you don't like it. But basically it said, we need to make this very real, because oftentimes when we say seek first the kingdom of God, there's almost some sort of disconnect between that and the local assembly. We need to have an understanding that because the kingdom of God is the local church, what that's saying is seek first the church, okay? and thus your commitment to the local assembly needs to reflect that. Again, it's a bad paraphrase, but you know, that really hit that a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, I'm a kingdom first guy, but you know, I just have a really hard time getting there on midweeks. You know, I don't get off work until 5:30 and assembly starts at 7 and you know, the kids have to be in bed at 7:15 and you know, well, let's be realistic, 7:45. So, you know, this has to happen. So, you know, it's, and I live 25 minutes from the, it's like, okay. I mean, I hear your words saying that you seek first the kingdom of God, but where's the commitment to the local body? And so I appreciate these do not be deceived passages because it's pointing forward to the fact that God wants us to sow to the Spirit so that we reap life. So four laws of the harvest. What we sow is what we reap. The sower is guaranteed a harvest. There is a time delay before sowing and reaping, or between sowing and reaping. And you reap more than what you sow. These are fairly self-explanatory. What you sow is what you reap. We live in an agricultural part of the country here. We know that if you plant corn, you get corn. You don't plant corn and get beans, right? There might be one or two beans from the seeds that didn't die off from last year, but if you plant a field of corn, you're going to get corn, period. What you sow is what you reap. And the only reason why you get a few stray beans or two from, you know, all those hybrids is because you planted it 2 years ago. That's the only reason, right? What you sow is what you reap. The sower is guaranteed a harvest. Now, this is a spiritual principle because in the realm of the flesh, is this the case? I mean, you can have a tornado come take out your field, right? It's certainly possible. Could have it this afternoon. Most of the farmers have put in yet, right? But like, hey, we're supposed to get a little bit of weather later, I think. You know, I have a nice little twister. I could have some things to look at on my way home. Sounds like fun to me. You know, it could happen, right? You don't know. It can take out the field. But in the spiritual realm, who's in control of the harvest? And so the sower is guaranteed a harvest. Oh, there's a time delay between sowing and reaping. See, we have an understanding that in the physical realm, you can't plant one day and enjoy the fruits of that produce the next day. I really like asparagus. Okay, I don't know anybody else. Like, I really, really like asparagus. Like, fried asparagus, man. Like, you know, put a little butter, some asparagus. Oh, it's great. I love it. Okay, you know, to get asparagus, like, you can grow it, and you can even grow it around here, but it's gonna be like 3 or 4 years before you get eatable asparagus. Did you guys know that? That's a long time, right? I'm not interested. Like, I wish today that I would have planted asparagus 3 or 4 years ago. But like, I'm like, 2028? Nah. Right? There's a time delay between sowing and reaping. You know, same with fruit trees, same with anything in the physical realm. There's a time delay between sowing and reaping. Well, the same thing is spiritually too. There's a time delay between sowing and reaping. Well, I read my Bible today and I don't feel any better. Well, yeah, I would expect that. Right? But if you continue to read your Bible, then you're going to get better. And so, final law there is you reap more than you sow. This is what keeps us all alive physically. We reap more than what we sow, otherwise we would be in big, big trouble. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. The law of the harvest is we reap more than what we sow. And this works for us both for good and for harm. So the first thing here, what you sow is what you will reap. And so the question for us is, are we sowing to the flesh or are we sowing to the spirit? See, we have that list in Galatians chapter 5, not as a list of do's and don'ts, but as a communication to us as to how we are doing. And if we are distracted by the things of the flesh, the things that are physical in nature, then we're going to be sowing immorality and impurity and sensuality and so on and so forth, right? That's what we're going to get from sowing to the flesh. Excuse me. We'll reap immorality and impurity and sensuality if we sow to the flesh. And so if we sow to the spirit, what is it that we will reap? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But if we sow to the flesh, we should expect to reap corruption. Verse 8 there, chapter 6. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The produce of the Spirit is life eternal. But corruption, you know, it's kind of an interesting word there. Completely without life. Rotten. There's a lot of talk these days about political corruption, right? Or corruption in our government. It's funny because I appreciate the fact that there's a lot of corruption in our government. But it's interesting, too, the way that people will see some of that corruption in government and get really upset about that, depending upon where you're at on the political spectrum and what the specific thing is that is being corrupt and who it is that's being corrupt. And depending upon that, we get really fired up, right? But then the same corruption continues to happen and everybody pretends like it's not happening. It's like there's some inconsistency here, right? Well, spiritually, we want to make sure that we're sowing according to the Spirit so that we reap what the Spirit produces in our lives. Remember, patience is not about just, you know, gritting our teeth harder. It's about seeing things from God's perspective, and we will reap what we sow, and we are guaranteed a harvest. And in the spiritual realm, we know that it will come. And that should be really encouraging to each one of us, is that our harvest will come. It gives us a tremendous amount of assurance. And even to some extent, if this is the way that you want to think about it, a level of control. Because if I put in the proper things, if my inputs are right, again, trusting the Lord and understanding that He's the power source for all of this, if my inputs are correct, who's guaranteeing my outputs? I'm ultimately only responsible for my inputs, right? And so the Lord's going to guarantee my outputs. That's really exciting because it's guaranteed a harvest. If I'm a farmer, the tornado may destroy my output even if my input was good. Don't know. It's the way it goes. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. But in the spiritual realm, we don't really have to be afraid of a spiritual tornado. That doesn't mean that we won't have trials. That doesn't mean that we won't have troubles. That doesn't mean that things don't happen that even come in to test our work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 makes that really clear. But we know that on a personal level, if we sow to the Spirit, we will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And that should be incredibly encouraging to us to understand that our work matters and that we have the control of the outcome of our spiritual development. We don't have to guess. We can just trust the Lord. We want corruption or life. Corruption, decay, rot, sin corrupts. Sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. Sowing to the Spirit reaps life and life eternal. An entire new covenant system is set up to encourage us to take initiative as sons and to live the abundant life that the Lord has for us. See, we're earlier there in the book of Galatians. If you go over to Galatians, let's reference chapter 4 here. Six and seven. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. The Lord has us as a son working together on His project, on His purpose, on His mission, on His goal. And He wants us to take initiative to work together with Him, that we're not just mindless automatons that are being told what to do, but rather we're those who are invested in the cause. And as we invest in the cause, we value the cause to a greater and greater extent, and we reap ultimately eternal life. And so this only happens one day at a time. We trust the one who guarantees a harvest. See, we can only control. It's one of the things about the laws of the harvest is I can't control if I planted that asparagus 3 years ago now. I didn't. I just have today. I just have today. I can decide to sow to the Spirit today. I can decide to choose life today. And for each one of us, that's the choice that we make. One day after another day after another day after another day is I am going to choose to live and to walk by the Spirit today. And if I will do that, we know that we're guaranteed a spiritual harvest. Whatever we sow, whether good things or bad, we will reap the harvest under the condition that we understand that there's a time delay. If we faint not. See, kind of poke around with, well, I read my Bible today and I don't feel any better. But oftentimes we have certain expectations that don't align with reality. We have certain expectations that, well, I did the right thing today, and I've been doing that for the past month, so why isn't this thing better, right? If I pay attention to the wake-up call of having a sore back after throwing the football around and playing Ultimate Frisbee, and then, I walk for a month and then do something more strenuous, and then I'm like, my back still hurt. Oh, I'm just giving up. Well, yeah. You're going to have to take it a little bit more seriously than just walking a little bit for a month if you expect to get better results. But oftentimes what we see is other people, and really what I want us to make this real about ourselves, is there's been times where maybe we've pew-sat for a really long time, and that's really all we were doing was pew-sitting, and we didn't grow spiritually the way that we thought we should. We can't figure it out because we've been pew sitting for the past 10 years. I've been coming to assembly. So why am I not growing the way that I thought that I would? Does that connect at all? Like, we need to have an understanding that we got to be putting the right inputs in. We need to be honest with the Lord. We need to be taking it seriously. But there is going to be a time delay. As I've mentioned before, mental habits are the strongest habits that we have to wrestle with. And so we got to continue to sow to the Spirit up here all the time to expect to reap from the Spirit. In due time, if we don't grow weary. I also think that that's just worth mentioning here as we go along. It's encouraging to me that the Scripture says if we don't grow weary, because there's also the temptation to grow weary. And the scripture is telling us that because it's like, hey, if you're feeling that way, it's okay that you're feeling that way. Don't stay there. Yeah, if we don't grow weary, that's a temptation. Sometimes we feel like, well, if the work that we're doing is good work and right work, then it shouldn't feel like work. It's not necessarily the case. You can be doing the good work and the right work and get tired. It's kind of part of it being work, right? And so if we have that understanding, we want to make sure and answer that exhaustion with faith, okay? But we have an understanding that what we're here to do is to work. We have a rest that's promised, but that rest that's promised is not going to be until after this life is over. That's the rest that comes from for us, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And so in due time, if we don't grow weary. Another thing for that on a personal level that I kind of have an awareness of and I'm trying to continue to build into my vision of myself and my vision of the congregations is that ultimately our goal has to see beyond our physical lifetimes, or otherwise that goal is going to come short. Because when we connect goals to our own lifetimes, then what I've seen over and over is that particularly, and it seems like us preachers are particularly susceptible to this, is that there's certain expectations that preachers have, and then the older that they get, as those expectations don't come through, then they have to face that, and then they start trying to take shortcuts because their expectations weren't met. I think that those things are very prevalent and very real for all of us, that we have to understand that for there to be a good ultimate goal, it has to go beyond the scope of my life. It's interesting where Jesus, he was very aware of his mission here on earth. But one of the things that he was doing as well is he was setting up for all of the things that would take place after he went back to heaven. Who is he spending his time with? Well, particularly the apostles, right? And of the apostles then, Peter, James, and John. Because he has an understanding that those guys are going to be the ones that are going to continue to move the ball forward after he's gone. That the progress that the church is going to make is going to take place after he's gone. He didn't need to see immediate physical results for himself right now. Well, we need to have that perspective for ourselves and the work that we want to get done spiritually. We want to have that perspective for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren. I want them to be faithful. I want the church to be thriving for them. It can't just be about what's going to be best for me in the moment. And so if we do not grow weary, we will reap. And so the Lord wants us to take heart from that. We also reap more than what we sow. It's one of the reasons why we want to make sure that we're consistently sowing to the Spirit. It's amazing to me the doors that the Lord can open up that we didn't ever imagine. You know, I couldn't have guessed. You know, that comes through in a number of different ways. Use the example of the Christian school in Wauseon in particular. Like, we started the Christian school in Wauseon. We had two kids, okay? Neither one of them were mine, right? There were two kids. It needed to be done, okay? And within about a year, we went from two kids to one kid. And not only that, but the one kid from that family, okay, had a mom who I don't believe had to work, and they were certainly capable of homeschooling. And yet, it was like, no, we have a vision of what the congregation needs to do. The congregation needs to have a church school, okay, and we want to be participating together in the discipleship of our youth. So, okay, we got one kid, and we had a Christian school for like 2 or 3, 4 years with one kid, okay? I had no idea, okay, that the Lord's plan was to bring, you know, a family of 9 and a family of 8 from Pennsylvania to Northwest Ohio. All I knew is that the Lord wanted there to be a church school in Wauseon, period. How could I have guessed a family of 9 and a family of 8 is going to come? I didn't. But I was faithful with what the Lord had entrusted to me and was not like, well, it's not worth it for one kid. It is. It's worth it for the individual soul. And again, it wasn't just the families moving from Pennsylvania. You know, there were a number of different ways in which the Lord brought people in. My point with the Pennsylvania folks is that that's not what I knew would happen. I just knew that I needed to be available for the Lord to do what he would. And that's for all of us. We're in the middle of those stories, and the Lord is just asking for us to be faithful. And those stories have ebbs and flows, and that's why we want to make sure that we're consistently sowing to the Spirit. And that's why we want to guard our heart and not be deceived by winds of false doctrine as well. Is because there's a lot of spiritual get-rich-quick schemes. Okay, well, this is, you know, if we just had this one super secret special sauce, then people would be flooding in here. You know, it's amazing. People have been looking for a long time for the super special secret sauce. And you know what the super special secret sauce is? It's called WORK, and it's called Go Make Disciples, Immerse, and Continue to Teach Those Disciples. But see, that's hard. And that means that I need to be crucified to the world and crucified to self. And so I'd really just rather have a super secret special sauce. You know what I mean? And super secret special sauces sell a lot of books. They do. They sell a lot of books, man. But go make disciples, immerse, and continue to teach those disciples works. So then the encouragement is, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of household of faith. You reap more than what you sow. There's a part of this that we have to understand, particularly that what we do for the Lord. And so when we're doing good, we have to have an understanding that, yeah, there's knapsacks and there's boulders, and we need to show good judgment and good discretion on those things. But ultimately, I'm not doing good because of a result that I expect to get from you. I'm doing good because I love Jesus and I want to serve him. And when I love Jesus and I want to serve him, boy, I hope you're benefited by it too. But you're going to have to make that decision. And so, let's do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You're up, sir.